elusive and mysterious quality of femininity depends in a large measure in a woman's deep heart acceptance of being a woman.
God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliot shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about what it means to be a holy woman. In my newsletter, I had an article on virginity. And I had a real long letter from one lady who thought that I was very far off. I wrote on the many who long for marriage and no men appear on their horizons. It really seems to be almost a disease, an epidemic that has gone across our country, especially among Christians, maybe primarily among Christians. I'm really not sure. Those are the ones that I have contact with. And as I travel around, I meet so many marvelous Christian women who seem to have everything, and yet there seem to be no men interested in them. And I wonder what's happening to these men. Are they blind? Are they totally lacking in passion? Are they stupid, or what is it? No, it couldn't possibly be that. And I don't want to be thought of as a man basher. I'm not bashing you men. I'm baffled. I'm asking the question, what is it that you're looking for in a wife? Have you looked over the field and asked yourself, are there any godly women here, women who accept their femininity as God gives it to them, the kind of woman that you would like to be the mother of your children, the sort of woman that you would feel happy about having at the other end of the table when you had your best friends for dinner? What is it that you're looking for? Well, you women have my sympathies. I have been there. And I can hear somebody saying, oh, yeah, but you've had three husbands. I mean, what do you know about being single? I agree that I have been greatly blessed in God's having given me three godly husbands, but the marriages have been relatively short, and I've spent a good many years of my life single. But I do want to make this point here. When people are tempted to write off what I say about singleness by saying, but you have a husband and you've had two other husbands, the point is, I didn't know that I would ever have one. I did not know. At the time when I believed that God might be asking me to be single for the rest of my life, this was before I married my first husband, Jim Elliot, I had to surrender all that deep, powerful longing, which I believe every normal woman feels, to be a wife and to be a mother. I had to turn that over to God entirely for His purposes, for the working out of whatever He wanted. And I did not know. God gave me no guarantees that He was ever going to give me a husband. In fact, it looked very unlikely to me for a number of years that I would ever have one. In my newsletter article, I wrote of acceptance of our status, our marital status. If you're married, then accept that. Accept the husband that God has given you. If you're single, accept your singleness and take it as if today was the last day of your life. Don't be looking constantly to the future. I remember what Jim wrote to me in one of his letters, "Let not our longing slay the appetite of our living." And I think there are a lot of single women who are allowing their longing to slay the appetite of their living. They're not throwing heart and soul into the will of God for today because they're simply dying inside for something that God has not given them. I wrote also about trust in the will of God and submission to His choice, on not putting hooks out but rather quietly doing the work that he assigns, confident in his promises, confident that no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I'm going to read you a couple of paragraphs from this article. The gift of virginity given to everyone to offer back to God for his use is a priceless and irreplaceable gift. It can be offered in the pure sacrifice of marriage, or it can be offered in the sacrifice of a life's celibacy. Does this sound just too high and holy? But think for a moment. Because the virgin has never known a man, she is free to concern herself wholly with the Lord's affairs, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7. Her aim in life is to make herself holy in body and spirit. She keeps her heart as the bride of Christ in a very special sense, and offers to the heavenly bridegroom alone all that she is and has. When she gives herself willingly to him in love, she has no need to justify herself to the world or to Christians who plague her with questions and suggestions. In a way not open to the married woman, her daily living sacrifice is a powerful and humble witness, radiating love. I believe she may enter into the mystery more deeply than the rest of us, the mystery of Christ and the Church, the heavenly bridegroom. How can she enter into the mystery of the Father loving his children if she never has children, someone wrote to me. But she can have children. She may be a spiritual mother, as was Amy Carmichael, by the very offering of her singleness, transformed for the good of far more children than a natural mother may produce. All is received and made holy by the one to whom it is offered. One writer has said, a virgin's capacity for love has no outlet in husband and children, but extends to the whole human family. The mother's impulse of giving, which exists in the virgin, is diverted to others, released for action. I said the other day that the only absolute power that we have is surrender. And one can surrender one's virginity to God, that he may divert that motherhood impulse and that power to others and release all that pent-up energy for action in fields which God can choose. A holy woman is an instrument of God who has obliterated herself. Leon Bloy wrote this, the holier a woman is, the more she is a woman. Think of that one now. The holier a woman is, the more she is a woman. And I think we could put it the other way around, too. The more womanly she is, the more holy she is likely to be if she belongs to God. So the holier we are, the more womanly we will be. It's very difficult to define femininity, isn't it? Almost impossible. But I think that it depends, that elusive and mysterious quality of femininity depends in a large measure in a woman's deep heart acceptance of being a woman. Her receiving in thanksgiving to God the gift of womanhood. And this same writer also said, there is nothing that denotes the condition of the world today more profoundly and tragically than the complete absence of the maternal attitude of mind. Nothing that denotes the condition of the world today more profoundly and tragically than the complete absence of the maternal attitude of mind. There's so much in the world today that militates against a maternal attitude of mind. What is a maternal attitude of mind? Well, it's sacrificial, for one thing. It's humble. It reaches out to others. It takes no thought for its own comfort. It looks for the poor, the helpless, the needy. It's a servant attitude. As a woman descends from womanliness, she loses her sense of motherhood. But the virgin, instead of marriage, is devoted to the mystery of charity. A virgin can be every whit as womanly as a married woman, because she realizes that her maker is her husband, that she is a woman given the gifts of life-bearing, and she devotes her life to the mystery of charity. All that is seemingly wasted and unfulfilled is dedicated to the Lord himself. To fail to recognize her value as a virgin in relation to God, I think, is a tragedy. Now, let me put in a parenthesis here. To those of you who have blown your virginity, and by that I simply mean given it to the wrong person, God will forgive you. And God can restore not your virginity, but your purity and your chastity. And you can live your life as a holy woman. We are to be happy, cheerful, wise, effective servants of God, all who live to love and have made themselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. They are the godly women.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.